Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you. We are here co-creating heaven on earth. And every single day we practice raising our vibration and co-creating our new earth together. And then we're coming back here today to talk to you with my beautiful friends from around the world, Pia and Colin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Cornelia. Always delighted to be here.
We love the conversations that we create together.
Yes, I always love coming together with soul family and, you know, raising our consciousness, having the conversations like you just mentioned, helping each other understand what's going on. And that's what we were doing just before we came on the show, because I was talking about how I'm feeling. And actually, Pia, you opened it up. You said, what do you want to say that part? Pia, what you said? And that, I'm not going to say it, but you want to skip.
Cullen and I are feeling the intensity of all of the energies. And at the same time, we feel like we're on a treadmill because we're working so hard. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like we are tired and want to go home, want to have a rest, want to lay my head down. It's just part of what's going on right now.
But at the same time, we know the work we're doing, and I don't mean just Pia and me. I mean, the work that we're all doing is absolutely necessary at this time. We're here at the perfect time to be working on ourselves, working collectively, working galactically. We're here to be doing everything we can do to create as much unity and as much cooperation as we possibly can. So I think maybe the reason we're a little bit tired is we are doing a lot of work.
Yeah.
And that work is making a difference. So it's one of those equations where we're doing what we need to be doing, and maybe it's taking a bit of a toll on us, but that's why we came here.
That's it. We came here. We're fully capable and able. And, you know, I was sharing about how I was feeling, that I feel like a balloon, like I'm about to, you know, blow up, like just expanded a balloon. And I feel like I'm hung over, like with all the energies, and I feel like I'm about to combust. And I just feel also really tired and wanting more rest and wanting more sleep. It actually made me think about the conversation that we had before when we were talking about slowing down, mm-hmm. and how important it is to slow down. And Colin, you had said something about that time that you had, I can't remember exactly what you said, but it was something like, you know, like a major snowstorm that we need to, in order to slow down and really, you know, embrace our humanity with the new way that we want to live in this world. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. We don't want to continue on working so hard, like, you know, I mean, like we have been doing. And we also want to bring the balance in. We also want to create templates for our children and our children's children that isn't about working 12 hours, 14 hours a day, that is about living in balance and being, you know, right? Am I hitting a nerve here?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what we're all working towards, finding that sweet spot, that balanced place where we can be of service, do the work we came here to do, and take care of ourselves at the same time.
And you alluded to a story that I did tell probably years ago together with you. Our Pleiadian friends, Larkma, suggested that if there was a snowstorm worldwide and everybody had to slow down and not do all the things that they think they must do just for a couple of weeks, that that would reestablish a new pace, a new slower experience of just being here. And as you said, not working so hard and balancing that what Pia just also explained, that energy between taking care of everybody else, but not neglecting ourselves, and also making time for us. And that's a tough one, because when we signed up to do this work, we came here to do as much as we possibly could. And I think maybe we've overdone it a little bit. When I was a young man, I was really interested in shamanic medicine and shamanic information. And I apprenticed with a shaman. And one of the things he told me, and this was a really, really long time ago, this was 50 odd years ago, he said, we chose to be here to do the work. And he said, unfortunately, we have to be available 24 hours a day. And I looked at him and I said, are you crazy? We can't be available 24 hours a day. And he said, you just wait. When you get into the work fully, you will be working all the time. And I said, well, that's not fair. And he said, wait a minute. He said, I didn't say anything about fair. I didn't say anything about balance. He said, when you put your foot on the path in service, you have to be available. And I think he was right in some ways, but I think also he was overdoing it a little bit. And I think he was trying to warn me, yes, you have to be busy, but maybe he was metaphorically telling me, but watch out, don't get that busy where you don't have any time for yourself.
There was a time in our lives where we were getting regular appointments and urgent appointments all the time. And I can remember one night when we were scheduled to go on a 3-week or 4-week tour to somewhere out of the country. And we were packing our bags and ready to go to bed. And we got a phone call saying, it's urgent. I need to talk to the Pleiadians now. And we put everything aside and we did that. And what we learned from that experience was other people's perception of what is urgent is not always truly urgent. Sometimes it can wait. Sometimes they're just emotionally panicked. And so we decided from that point on, we will always take requests for something that's urgent. If there's a time issue involved, if somebody's critically ill, you know, we will do that. But if it's something like, I can't decide what roommate to get and it's urgent, I have to know, forget it. You know?
there has to be some kind of mutual understanding that,
yeah,
for the highest good of all, let's all be careful about what we ask for, because maybe what someone asks for is not for the highest good of all.
Yeah.
And in that case, maybe people need to think twice before they ask for external help.
The other thing I want to say about this is that Cullen and I have in the last, we got some echo here, in the last year of maybe year and a half, we have reinstituted where we absolutely schedule in time for ourselves. Every morning we have private time for the two of us. Every night we have private time for the two of us. And midway through the day, we take private time for the two of us so that we have a balance between appointments and in what we need to do. So
yeah. Yes, it is. This is actually something that I too have on my calendar. I call it K time. Mm-hmm. And so it's time for me. And also one of the things that I've been doing recently in the last few months is that I just really try not to take any appointments before 10 o'clock or 11 mm-hmm. o'clock, because that really gives me the time in the morning to, I always do my nature walk. I always do my morning reflection meditation time. Just being in silence and being with myself in my visioning time, it's really important. Then I also do my workout. So, I mean, you're thinking of all these things. You've got nature, you've got meditation, you've got workout, that all those things all take time before you even get to work, mm-hmm. right? That kind of thing. So because I value that, I make that a priority for me, because mm-hmm. this is something that was lacking before in my life in the early parts of my awakening, where, and now this is a priority. And then I, when I come to work, I feel like I've taken care of those parts that are important to me that I value. Mm-hmm. And then when I come to work, then when I'm working until like 6 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night, or it's okay if, in that sense, because I have taken care of myself early on, which is an important piece. The other thing about us feeling like we're working all the time is because we're doing so much work energetically. And mm-hmm. this isn't necessarily, you know, physical labor. It's, and you know, sometimes I feel physical labor is a lot easier than energetic labor, because we're doing a lot of energetic work. I mean, my God, when we're going to sleep sometime, the programs were collapsing in dream state. And then you wake up in the morning, you have a hangover because you've been working all night long.
That, we're familiar with that.
That is absolutely true. I think maybe we do as much work at night as we actually do during the day. And I think many of us are out there doing whatever we do, whether we remember what it is or not. We are active in other realms, in other dimensions, doing work that probably mirrors what we're doing here in the third dimension. But we're absolutely active at night. We, P and I, sometimes come back, you've used the word hangover. Sometimes we come back and it's like, what happened? Was that a semi truck or a freight train that hit us? I mean,
we also have battle scars. We'll come back with bruises and places where we've been. So there is actually physical evidence of going in other dimensions. I think one thing that bears repeating that we've said before is that Larkma, our Pleiadian friends, have been telling humanity for almost two decades now, we are here in this lifetime to integrate all of our other parallel lives.
Yeah.
Because it's only by integrating them that we activate the other 12 strands of our DNA. If we don't, then we, the other 10 strands of our DNA, we want to get them all activated, because this is the 13th position where we are living now, the position of integration. And I think that's why we're all talking about feeling like we have hangovers, is because that integration piece doesn't just take place consciously while we're awake. It happens also while we're asleep. It's still integrating the work. It's still clearing past traumas. It's still picking up on gifts we've forgotten. All of it, integrating it so that we can become fully who we are.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've been finding recently is whatever it is that I'm clearing right now has to do with a hanging for me, where I was hung because I can feel it in my neck. Hmm. And so it hasn't been every day, but it was enough to let me know that, you know, and intuitively feeling this is a trauma that is being cleared, because the neck, and I didn't have any issues or anything like that, but certainly am feeling that past trauma is being released and cleared from whenever I was hung, or, you know, another lifetime or whatever. To me, I don't even have the time. It doesn't even matter to me when it was or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I just want to move on. So I'm just realizing, yeah, this is another trauma that is being released because I could feel it in the neck area, and releasing that energy and moving on to greener pastures, right? And like yes. You said, Pia, you said, you know, we have scars, and the scars that we're even feeling right now is being battle weary. Because we are continuously on the front lines facing all of the wars, all of the things that we've been through in this life and other lifetimes, all simultaneously at one time in this now moment.
That's the key word there, Cornelia, simultaneously, because you said it doesn't even matter when it happened. when is completely irrelevant because time is an illusion anyway. It's all happening simultaneously. And that's a little hard for most people to be able to take in and really understand that it's impacting us in this, what we call now moment. It's impacting us in a way because we are actually connecting to all these other dimensions of our experience.
You know, before we started the show today, we were talking about, I was sharing with you all about how this last past Sunday, Mother's Day, my mom was here and I went all out. I mean, I went all out. When I say I went all out, I just was so in my joy in sharing my love with her. And I couldn't wait, you know, I made a 2-course meal, you know, a meal that I know that she would love, and all the various little treats and things that I had set aside that I couldn't wait to share with her and this and that. So she came over with her partner and we were just having a fabulous time. And then all of a sudden, you know, while we're having a fabulous time, she stands up and she says, "Okay, I'm ready to go now." And I said, "What are you doing?" And she says, "Well, I'm ready to go now." And that's when my little inner 2-year-old was like, after expressing so much love, so much joy, all of that, right? So, and I'm like, "Mom, why do you want to leave?" "Well," she goes, "I'm really full. I'm ready to go." And what it brought up for me is, there was a little trigger there because I couldn't understand. If you're in such beautiful company with your daughter who loves you so much and is expressing all this love to you, why would you want to leave? That was what was up for me, like in a big, huge way, right? It's like, why would you want to leave? And so I couldn't understand that. And especially because I never had children in this life, I've often thought, if I had children, I would want to be around my daughter. I would want, you know. So anyway, the whole point is I was a little bit, there was that hook. It almost turned into a, you know, it almost turned into a reaction, but I was able to pull myself back long enough to where after they left, then I was able to tend to that wound. The reason why we're talking about this is because you were talking about the upcoming period. And so I wanted to open this up, but first wanted to hear your thoughts about what I was sharing.
Well, I think you did an excellent job of pulling back and reevaluating instead of reacting in the moment, because that's what we're all learning to do. Don't react to the triggers of things that we either misunderstand or take personally or have a feeling of it should be a different way, judging it in some way. Being able to take a breath and step back from that is what the work's all about.
It's interesting. I know we've talked about this with you before, but I think many of us have the feeling that we've taken care of most of the important shadows that we need to look at, that we need to clear, we need to take care of. And I think we've looked at ourselves pretty deeply and come to the conclusion that we're done with that part.
Yeah, this thing's done.
We're done. We've done this. We're moving on to the next part where we're doing something else now. And when something comes up that you have just wonderfully described, I think it allows us, it doesn't make us, but it allows us to say to ourselves, well, maybe we missed a little part of that. Maybe we didn't clear that as closely or as completely as we thought we did.
We're still attached in some way to our desires, our hopes, our expectations. Something is causing that hook that you were just describing that doesn't need to be there anymore. We don't need to have any expectations of what somebody else is going to do. No desires about how they are or are not going to treat us. All of those things are hooks that trigger us to react if we don't get things the way we perceive they should be.
And I think this is a positive thing that's happening, yeah. Because even if we thought we had cleared something, an issue, a trauma, whatever we want to call it, if it wasn't completely, thoroughly fixed, that's okay, because if we're willing to look at it in the way you've described just now, by not overreacting or not reacting at all, holding that space until the occasion was over, and then telling yourself, okay, I can look at it now. I'm able, the situation is over. The people that were involved are gone. I can now look at what happened. And this is a fine tuning. This is a honing of what still needs to be worked on, but maybe wasn't quite completely taken care of. I see this as a fulfillment or a completion.
That's good.
Of whatever that was. And some people might say, well, you know, they might beat themselves up and say, I should have been finished with that, or it shouldn't have happened. It doesn't matter. It did happen. And looking at it from a different perspective, looking at it from a different point of view, and finally going, okay, I get it. I wasn't finished. I'm looking at it more closely, and I'm now going to complete the process. I actually think that is a wonderful step in the entire process.
And you know, boy, are we lined up. We are really lined up right now to receive the universe's support. We've got major cosmic energies stepping in to say, this is the work, do it now. Tomorrow at sunset, we step into the most emotionally reactive period of the entire cycle of Pleiadian Earth energies. 200 days of energies that cycle every 13 days. We step into the one called feeling energy, because it's all about what we feel and how we think about what we feel and how we either respond or react. It's really important that we get prepared for this.
Well, like Colin said earlier, and you can repeat what you said earlier, Colin, here in just a minute, but I want to go back to, I had an aha while you were talking about the completion of what I was doing in with this situation on Mother's Day. So in the Mother's Day card, and in all of my expression, sharing my vulnerability to my mom, they came to my house, right? They were here in my house. The walls are down. I'm completely open. I'm completely exposed. I'm completely vulnerable. I just want to shower you with so much love and adoration. I just want to, you know, and that's what I was doing. In the card I was writing, you know, I chose you, Mom. We've had a good life. We've had a great life, right? So talking about that. And then when that happened, it's wow, right? I chose you, and then that poop, right? And then it was like, okay. So, and it was funny because my mom's partner, he saw what was happening, and he took his hand and he put it on my hand. He said, you know that your mom really, really appreciates you. She might not tell you. She might not tell you she appreciates you, but she really, really does. She tells me. And, you know, that whole German stoic, you know, that's fine. So anyway, but he was doing that part. He was being the nurturer there, and he was noticing it. He was holding that space because he's my mom's partner. And at the same time, he was also receiving all of the adoration that I was giving my mom as well, because he was also part of that, right? To really receive that in. And that's when I noticed also the compassion later came for her, because is she really fully capable to receive all this love?
Mm-hmm.
Is she really fully capable? And maybe that was the reason why. It's like, you know, when you're in such bright sunlight, it's like, okay, that's it. I'm done. It's I'm out of here, you know, and maybe that was the reason. Like that's all I can take right now. I've got to go.
Yeah. That is a really good point, because so many people do have sometimes a little bit of resistance about if there's a lot of love coming in, can they handle it?
Or do they deserve it?
Well, yeah, those are cousins. Those are very close issues. And it's possible that in your mom's makeup, in her situation, maybe her bucket got filled a little too full and she simply didn't know what to do with it. She just couldn't take it in because maybe she thought, as Pia said, I don't deserve this. Maybe I wasn't that great of a mom. Or, gosh, if someone's giving that much love to me, is it my duty to reflect that equally in the love that I can produce and send out and broadcast? So when you look at the little that you got, maybe the trigger wasn't really your trigger in a way. Maybe it was more about her trigger, mm-hmm. and that triggered you, but not about you.
Yeah, because that's so good, because I had to really look at it later, like, what was the thing that I was really triggered about here? What was it, right? Because again, we thought I was done. We thought I was done, right? And obviously, you know, I reached for the ice cream that afternoon after they left. You know, I did. I was like, you're going to get some ice cream now. It's okay. I'm going to give you some ice cream. You got this. And it was so interesting observing my thoughts around all of it, because I did have a thought, you know, her birthday's coming up in a couple weeks. And the thought was, I'm not inviting her back over here. Her birthday, I'm not doing that, because obviously she doesn't like to be here. So, you know, all these thoughts were going through my mind. And, you know, it's just okay to look at our humanity and look at the thoughts that we're thinking. But I really feel like she said it to me. She said, I'm full. I'm full. And that to me, not just from the meal, mm-hmm. but that meant I'm really full. I can't take in no more. Usually when I go over to their house, I'm over there for like a whole day. And there's never a problem, right? Like hanging out, there's no problem. Like 10 hours or 11 hours, I'm over there. And so they came over here for 3 hours and all of a sudden you're full and you want to leave. So anyway, it's all good. So what you're saying, Colin, is that, and Pia, we're getting ready to go into the feeling space for the next 13-day period, right?
Yes, but we have more than just this Pleiadian earth energy of feeling that comes every 260 days. The universe is really power packing this one.
Oh.
Before we go at sunset tomorrow, we step into the feeling energy for 13 days. We also started Mercury retrograde today. And previous to that, by just some number of days before that, Pluto went retrograde. Pluto, the planet or the dwarf planet, of death and destruction, tearing everything apart so that you can become something more, something better, something transcendent. Mercury, the planet that says, watch your communication, watch what you do, because I'm going to interfere until you get it the way it needs to be. And then we have the feeling energies coming in saying, okay, how are you going to react to all this? You going to react? Are you going to respond? So we have great work to do. And one of the things I wanted to point out about this is that feeling is an Eastern energy. All Eastern energies bring in new beginnings. So the way to deal with this for the next 13 days, other than being conscious of not reacting, which is supremely important, is to always remember we can begin in every moment we can begin again. If we do have an overreaction, if we do say something we have to say sorry for, whatever it may be, remember that we can begin again and do it better, because Pluto's trying to kill all those things that don't work. And Mercury's trying to twist our words until we get them right from our heart instead of our head. All of those things are combined, three things. And Cullen and I know whenever three things come together, it is a power pack.
Yeah, it's a time to really, really be aware of everything in our environment. Yeah. One thing I wanted to talk about that we talked a little bit before we went on air is all the things that Pia just described are all happening almost simultaneously. Mars, Pluto, the Pleiadian
Mercury,
influence.
Mercury.
But there's something really interesting. The more sensitive of us, And there are a lot of sensitive people here on the planet at this time, many, many, many. We often feel things as they're coming towards us, not on the day that they actually appear, but the energy that's coming forward can be felt and can be affecting us earlier, a day or two, maybe even a week. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting in our conversation today with you about Mother's Day, because that was so close to all of these things happening simultaneously. It seems to us that you were probably feeling many of these energies before they actually came completely
in alignment,
active and in alignment. So I think all of us have to be aware and careful that when we're told an astrological event is going to happen, or in the Pleiadian Earth energy system, a certain energy is going to be predominant, we have to be careful not to just say, okay, it's going to happen on that day. Let's put our knee pads, our helmets, and our elbow pads on that day.
Yeah.
Because it can be coming days before that actual happening of specific energies. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to be aware of that, because sometimes a number of us are ahead of the game. We're already feeling what the collective is going to feel when it becomes stronger and more predominant. And P and I feel things days before they actually happen. And I think many of the people that we talk to around the world also have that happening to them.
And that can be cosmic energies like we're talking about now. It can be earthquakes that are about to happen. It can be storms that are coming in the, you know, in our environment. It can be physical things that are going to happen to somebody that we pick up on before it happens. We feel all of it before it gets here.
And it can be as interesting as volcanic eruptions, yeah, or earthquakes. Some of us feel that energy coming to the surface days before it actually happens. And we had a really great, funny story that happened to us. We have a science friend, a super scientist, and he was registering us telling him, we think an earthquake is going to happen on a certain day or soon, or a tsunami, or a volcanic eruption. And at first he thought we were just playing around. After he got to know us over the years, he realized that we really knew in advance when these things were going to occur. And he said, what is it with you two? Do you have a tattoo on your back showing what is going to happen before it happens? And we laughed and said, we just know. The feeling just precedes the actual activity.
I think it's a little bit like anybody who's ever seen an animal, a dog or a horse or a cat around before an earthquake's going to happen, they know it. They know the earthquake's going to happen, and they're getting out of there as quickly as they can. Thunderstorms the same way. They feel it. They know it. And I think that's akin to what Cullen and I feel. We know it before it hits.
And I think every human has that ability. I think we've stepped away from it. Something we've talked to you about almost every time we have these conversations is our stepping away from nature. And I think the further we get away from our natural connection with nature, our natural abilities, we lose these abilities, these connections. And I think at this point in our human evolution, more and more people are going to regain those abilities and those sensitivities. We're seeing it every day. People are talking about synchronicities happening faster and faster. They're talking about their intuition growing by leaps and bounds. And I think we're at the threshold of really reconnecting with nature and using these gifts and talents in ways that we haven't for many, many years.
Yeah, and it's all happening with us being in our allowance and allowing the energies to allowing the light to integrate the light and making room and making space to, mm-hmm, remember, mm-hmm, our gifts and all, you know, all of the lifetimes and all the star systems and planets we've been on and everything, all the wisdom that we've gained, and to remember all of the wisdom here now. I mean, I often look at that like, here we are, you know, we're clearing all the traumas from all the past lives and this life and past lives and all the lives, all the traumas, all of it. Well, then we're also here to integrate all the gifts and all the balance of all of that. What happens after the traumas? What happens after that? And that's the place that I feel like where we are now, moving into living beyond the human condition of what we came into, of you know, not knowing who we are, not remembering who we are, you know, not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy, not feeling, you know, safe and secure, feeling abandonment and betrayal and victim. But moving beyond all of those, what are we going to do with this energy now? And, you know, when you were talking about the energies right now with all the planets, it's not just Pluto and Mercury. There's also Jupiter that's starting a brand new cycle. And Jupiter is in Aries now in the I am. Mm-hmm. Jupiter is in the I am in the Aries. And again, it's, are you in the equation? What is this next cycle going to bring about for you? When you look back 12 years ago, where were you at this time 12 years ago? And what were you initiating and beginning then? I remember 12 years ago, I was really beginning the emotional clearing process of the core wounding and developing that healing modality in my life and then bringing it into practicality and working with clients on processing their emotions. That's what I initiated during that time. That was that whole decade. So I was already asking now, what is it that I'm going to be initiating now with Jupiter in this next cycle moving forward, you know, for these next 12 years? And that was kind of fun to contemplate and think about that, because Jupiter is influencing us all in this new cycle, right? So inviting the audience, inviting you to, what is it that you're going to be creating in this next cycle? And there's the eclipse. We have the eclipse this coming weekend too. So when you're saying this is like we're going through massive planetary influence with Mercury, and Pia, I heard this the other day. I didn't even realize that Mercury is going retrograde this year in all Earth signs.
Yes, I did know that.
Isn't that influential right there in all Earth signs? So Mercury is supporting us to ground it in the thought into the Earth.
Yes, and the other side of that is to not get stuck, to be flexible while we're grounding it in, because Earth signs can be very stable, very grounding, and they can also be very rigid and very stuck. So everything is in duality. With Jupiter being expansive, I mean, with Jupiter's cycle you're talking about, Jupiter's all about expansion. And in this particular beginning of this 12-year cycle with Jupiter here now in Aries, which is about individuation, as you said, the I am, we also have to look at, is this going to blow things out of proportion? Am I going to overreact when these feelings come up, when these things trigger me, when I get hooked into old patterns? Am I going to expand it and make it something it really isn't? Or am I going to remember who I am and expand towards a larger vista of what I want to co-create in the world? So, yes, that's a very important point.
It is. And we could look at all of these different energies that are all happening at this one time as absolute opportunities. We can look at this as all of these influences can help us open up, make better choices, do the deep work that we're capable of doing. This energetic period is possible to make huge leaps, huge changes. And instead of seeing some of these things as challenges or negatives, we can look at it as absolute avenues for growth, absolute opportunities to move forward and to hone everything that the three of us have been talking about, our gifts and talents, our deficits, our faults, all of it, we can use this time to expand and completely use all of this for our fundamental growth. It's an amazing opportunity.
It's so good to, I just feel so blessed. You know, I don't necessarily want to use the word good, but I feel blessed to be conscious, to be in the state of consciousness, to be conscious and to be in this body and to be conscious and be aware and know that with my contribution and my level of curiosity, those quantum leaps that you're talking about right now, that who knows what's going to happen, what we're going to create. But it's fun to look at it from that standpoint instead of feeling the, you know, overwhelm about it all. Like I was talking about, I feel like, you know, I'm a balloon about to pop, because I think that's Jupiter, must be. I just feel so expanded, but, you know, is it going to blow up? So funny. It's just such a funny feeling, you know, and then it right away brings it all back to the present moment and just be here now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what you're speaking of about being aware of and enjoying the consciousness that you are, that is a liberating, freeing place to be, because the more conscious we become, the freer we become, because we're not strapped to all the old stuff. We're not strapped to all the attachments, all the judgments. We're actually freeing ourselves by becoming more conscious. I mean, what better situation can we be in to be feeling that anytime, but right now especially?
Even with the situation that happened on Sunday, you had mentioned, you know, we thought that we would be done by this by now. We should be done by this by now. And I, you know, you had mentioned the words, or you beat yourself up for not being done or whatever. And the bottom line is being conscious and being aware that, like you said, that it's such a gift of completion of where you are to see it as that. And at the same time, again, bring the level of forgiveness to yourself, bring the level of forgiveness to the people, because Pia, you called them people, and really that's what they are. They're people playing a part in the movie, and you know, it's not personal. And to forgive the people, to be lighthearted, mm-hmm. and to be free, because isn't it why we're here? To liberate ourselves and to be free from the programs, from the poverty, from the slavery, from the victim, from all of those programs that we once were born into, and now to be free and to be here and begin again.
Absolutely.
That's it.
That is a perfect explanation of the liberation of consciousness and the understanding of why we are here and the journey we've chosen to be part of.
Yes. It's so nice that we did that, that we've chosen, and that we've succeeded. You know, do you get this from LARCMA that they're celebrating our victories thus far, or how is that perceived or communicated to you from LARCMA, where we are on planet Earth, you know, in our humanity?
LARCMA indicates always their emphasis on the job to be done. Mm-hmm. And they give us their loving support. They tell us that we're doing good work, but always, always remember, and don't get lackadaisical and drop your responsibility, because you're here to work. One of the things that makes Cullen and me laugh is they've said, this is not a vacation planet. This is not a vacation planet. And also they say something that you mentioned earlier. It's not necessarily about being fair either. It's about doing what needs to be done for the highest good of all, not our perceptions of whether it's fair or not. So we have to really watch our perceptions about, poor me, this isn't fair, and move beyond that, freeing ourselves, as you said, because this is about liberating our species into a higher evolutionary form.
And there's another part. Go ahead. You have a thought.
Well, I was going to say that when you were talking about liberation, when I wrote the book, Peace, the Flip Side to Anger, How I Used My Emotions to Heal My Life, My Body, and How You Can Too, that book, I talked about how I've often felt, because you called it a vacation planet, how I've often felt that planet Earth was a prison planet. And I called it prison planet in the book, that I felt like we were in prison here, and that we are using our anger, our righteous anger, to liberate ourselves out of prison. Because often I have felt that the work that I was doing, I could have been doing that work in a prison, in a 10 by 10 cell, and raising my consciousness right there with having my meals delivered to me, right? And going out and exercising it or whatever, coming back in and raising my consciousness and liberating myself. I think Nelson Mandela had similar experiences, but being in prison, this is how I've often felt. And that's why the level of liberation and freedom that I feel right now in my life is from those years and years and years of work of, you know, releasing the inner prison that I was feeling I was in.
Yeah. Well, I have a slightly different take on calling the third dimension or planet Earth a prison planet. I would change it slightly to say this is an educational planet. We have the choice here, which isn't available in all other societies, all other tribes, all other conscious or semi-conscious societies around the universe. We truly have choice here. It's a big part of being human in the third dimension. And I think we could say that planet Earth is an educational planet. We came here to re-educate ourselves, as you said a moment ago, to remember that we had forgotten possibly who we are, where we came from. I think we should use this as an educational place, as a place to increase our consciousness through self-education. And I think that takes us away from the victimhood and the prison-like feeling that we can use all these experiences as educational experiences. We can build each one of these things that we go through, whether we look at them as mistakes that we've made or successes. I don't think it really matters. I think each experience we have is an educational step up to the next experience, where we're going to have more education, which is going to increase our consciousness. Each time we get to a new plateau of something we don't understand, we go through it, we become more conscious each time we do that. And I think this is definitely not a vacation planet. It's not a holiday place. But as we use our consciousness to spiral upwards, upwards, and upwards, it can give us a little bit of a vacation idea or a little bit of a holiday idea, because we're making progress. We're actually making decisions that take us to a higher conscious level. And I like to look at this process here is more like that than what we've been talking about.
Cornelia, you said something early on about in the liberation process that we've forgotten and we need to remember who we are. And you talked about healing the human condition. And it just kind of made me smile, because Lortma's second book is all about that. The title of the book is Remembering Who We Are. The subtitle is Healing, How to Heal the Human Condition. You know, it's right there. Lortma's got us on how to heal the human condition, because the Pleiadians are trying to help us heal everything that we believe we are and step into freely with liberation and joy who we really are, our higher selves.
Yes, we are our higher selves. That's what's beautiful when you are working to integrate the higher self, not looking outside for with the higher self anymore, but you've integrated the higher self because you're continuously using that higher wisdom there. I want to clarify that, you know, that when I back then, when I called it the prison planet, this is not what I call it today. I like you calling it the educational planet. And well, because the earth is that school. However, it was always the feeling of what needed to be released. I feel like I'm in prison. I feel like what this mirror is showing me, you know, the traumas of the past that had to be released, because where I live now in heaven on earth here, that it's I'm not feeling like I'm in prison here. Yeah,
I understood. And I didn't mean specifically the way you were describing it. A lot of people like to use the word prison planet as a descriptor. And sometimes I feel like I'm in prison here when I'm trying my hardest to do something or to get an idea across to humanity or to simply do what I think is necessary in duality for evolution. Sometimes I feel that the forces that don't want me to do this, that don't want me to create this, put me in a prison situation. So it is not a foreign idea to me at all either, believe me.
I think we all feel that. We all feel trapped by our perceptions of what's going on and are being blocked by things that we're trying to move beyond in whatever ways that we can to bring a higher vibration to the planet, to the humanity, to ourselves, to each other. We all feel that way sometimes. We feel blocked.
Well, I also feel like, you know, all the thousands of years that we've been incarnating here, that we have been living everything that we're not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everything that we're not. All the things, all those things, you know, you can put labels on it. You can, you know, talk about what all those things are. We've been living everything that we're not. And now in the evolution of our consciousness of what we've been doing, that ripple effect, raising the consciousness one step at a time, every moment, every day, doing that work, being responsible, working on our intuition, remembering our gifts, all to live and be everything that we are.
There's something that comes to me about all of that and talking about this being a prison planet. People who wind up in prison aren't there because the jailers are bad guys. They're not there because the prison wards are bad people. They're there because they didn't act responsibly in their own lives.
That's good.
I think we as a species have no right to blame those that we feel that are trapping us or jailing us. It is our collective responsibility to be able to break free. And I don't mean to imply that everything that happens to somebody is definitely their fault. Individually, obviously, that's not true. I know that there are many circumstances we can speak to personally about feeling trapped when we've tried our best. And I'm sure everyone listening to the show has that also. But as a whole, as a species, if we have any sense of being trapped, it's because we have allowed it. We've become irresponsible in our choices. We have listened to things we had no business listening to through our minds and our beliefs rather than our hearts. We have acted without making conscious choices. So we can't blame the jailers. It's not their fault. It's ours.
Colin?
Well, I think we have to be really careful in explaining what we're talking about, because we do have choice, and because you just brought up the idea of responsibility, we always have the choice to take the high road or the low road. There's always that pause where we can have the moment or the second to go, gosh, is this a good idea? Is the choice I'm making, is this a good idea for everybody? Is this a choice for the highest good of all? Or is this a selfish choice just for me to get ahead? What am I going to do in this moment? Am I going to make the highest choice or am I going to make the lowest choice? We always have that ability, whether we call it responsibility, consciousness, whatever term we want to use, we always have the ability to take a moment, to take a breath and ask ourselves, first of all, why am I making this choice? Who is going to benefit from this choice? Is it only me? Am I going to benefit or is everybody going to benefit? And so I think we have to be careful in how we use the choices that are available to us. There's always a choice. Pia and I like to use the term a workaround. Mm-hmm. If we come to a brick wall, if we come to a standstill, if we come to a problem, there's always a workaround. If we simply get creative, if we simply get into that mode or into that energy of how can I do this better? Can I use my curiosity? Can I use my intellect? Can I use my heart? How can I best make this choice?
Cullen's talking about our favorite term, a workaround. Sometimes when we have consciously chosen the higher road and we get there and Cullen said a brick wall, I'll use the illusion of we take the higher road and there's a bridge out. And we go, oh no, what are we going to do? That didn't work. Doesn't mean we make the choice to go back into our old habits of the lower road. It means that we go, okay, how are we going to creatively do something? That bridge out, if we view it from the right perspective, could be our incentive to learn how to fly to the other side.
or if we take a few more steps and we find a fairy.
Yeah.
And there's a wonderful little wizard offering us a fairy ride across that river, even though the bridge is out.
Yeah.
If we just keep going and look for that look around or that work around, generally speaking, and I won't say it's always, but generally there's a solution if we just keep going and hopefully use patience, creativity, and our gifts and talents. Usually we can figure out how to negotiate anything that comes our way.
So circling back around again in this 13-day period that we're in, where emotions are likely to be very high, communication is likely to be not aligned perfectly, triggers are likely to come up because Pluto's pushing at us, Jupiter is right there expanding on whatever we're presenting, how we react or respond. As all of these energies come in, it's our job to stay on the higher vibratory road and look for those workarounds by using a higher perspective. Don't let our personality and our perspective sink back into the, oh, poor me, why does this always happen? Low road vibration. Stay in the high vibration and just keep moving forward.
And I would add to that by saying, don't put up any roadblocks.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't put up any roadblocks, because that's what we do when we don't see it working out, that we don't see the solution. We right away then put up a roadblock and then we just block ourselves. So don't put up a roadblock. Keep going and, you know, look for that fairy and look for that, you know, look for your wings expanding and you flying over or whatever. But, you know, approach it with the approach of there is a workaround. I think this is a really good place to end the show today. And I want to thank you again, Pia and Cullen, for coming on and having these fabulous, wonderful, heartwarming conversations with us all. So would you like to share with us where people can find you? Give us your information, your social media.
Sure. We can be found at two websites. The work that Cullen and I do together with LARKMA, our Pleiadian friends, is LARKMA, LARKMAA.com. And you'll find there books we've written, articles we've written, shows like this that we've recorded and put on the website, personal sessions, how to get a personal session with the Pleiadians, all manner of services and things are there. The other website is my website. It's Pia, P-I-A, Orlean, Orleane.com. And that one has all of my astrological work, intuition, intuitive sessions, alternative health sessions, things that I do of service to be in the world, along with books that I've written individually.
Each of these websites has a tremendous amount of information. archival information, services that we provide, and as Pia said, the books, the calendars, and a new surprise that's coming very soon, mm-hmm. something we've been working on for a year.
And we'll share it with your listeners on our next show when we get together with you.
Well, I have that question written down. I'm very excited about that. So I'm going to talk to you behind the show. So you don't even have to say a word because I know what it is. I'm talking to you about it when we get off. And I'm looking forward to that very much. So I'm excited that you brought that up, Colin. And thank you so much for coming on. We want to thank you, the listeners, for listening and sharing this information. While you're here, subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can always, you know, rise with us and, you know, co-create our new earth together with us. And like Colin said, the website that Pierre was sharing and all of the archival information that they have there is all so that you can create a better world to live in. And that's what it's all for. So thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll see you again next time. Have a fabulous month, everyone. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.